And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, sin of self. You know, no matter what I say, that's not going to make you smile. Also, feel the body. And don't forget this one, One for All. Just think of the movie that we're talking about, and we'll close it out with The Call to Action.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. We're skipping that. Personal revelation, spiritual observations. I was just skipping politics, entertainment, and current events. I was just skipping them. So they said skipping that. Well, it's not the best open, but it's kind of funny. Personal revelation, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? You know, you have an opinion. It's cool. Call us, 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it is not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. But stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. There are indications of a wider conspiracy in the deadly attack at a pop concert in Manchester, England. The father and brother of the suicide bomber Salman Abidi have been detained in Libya, where anti-terror authorities say the brother confessed to knowing all the details of the attack plot. Hashim Abidi, the 18-year-old brother of alleged British-born bomber Salman Abidi, 22, along with his father, 51-year-old Ramadan, were detained in Tripoli. Prior to his detention, Ramadan confirmed that British authorities had arrested another son, Ismail, 23, on Tuesday as part of the concert attack probe. 22 people died and some 120 were injured, some critically in the blast. More arrests have been made in Manchester as well. Adam Prince says he didn't see anything unusual in his apartment building leading up to an arrest there today.
I don't recall seeing anyone particularly this week, but I have no, you know, it's a very transient amount of people that go in and out of that because it's an Airbnb.
Meanwhile, Ariana Grande's management team says she has suspended her world tour through June 5th in the wake of the deadly bombing. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office is out with its analysis of the newest House Republican bill to replace Obamacare. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has the details.
The CBO report, or SCORE, finds the House-passed bill would leave 23 million fewer people with health insurance by 2026. That's slightly less than the House's previous version of the bill. The CBO report also finds an amendment in the newer version of the bill that allows states to waive certain regulations would lead to slightly lower premiums, so slightly more people might get coverage, but their health insurance would cover fewer health care services.
The Republican-controlled Senate has already said it is not likely to take up the House's bill. Instead, senators are crafting their own bill. On Wall Street, the Dow by 75 points, the NASDAQ rose 24, the S&P advanced 6. This is SRN News.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
April showers bring May flowers. Yeah, you've heard that before. But did you know that the Bible is like a rain shower? No, seriously. That's what the writer of the book of Isaiah says in chapter 55. Look at the similarities. Rain falls from the sky, giving fresh water to the earth, and helping nature to grow. The Bible also comes from above. It's the Word of God, given to us in 66 books, written over many centuries. And the Bible helps you and I to grow spiritually. Rain has a purpose, to refresh our world. And God promises that, like the rain, His Word will always accomplish its purpose, to give us joy and peace through faith in Jesus Christ. So, how can you dive in and start soaking up God's Word? We'll help you get started. Go to findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Yeah, I wish I could sing. That'd be kind of nice. I can write some music. I just can't sing. My brother can sing. I can't sing. I'm not good at singing. Oh, well. You know how people say they're good in the shower, right? Unless you're good on a microphone, you're not good in a shower. I'm sorry. You know, I sound great. Well, the water's running. There's a reason why. There's a reason. But it's okay because you can still pretend that you're, like, you know, singing. Or it's the same thing when you play baseball, when you're playing softball with your friends or something like that, and you make a catch. You pretend like you're, you know, Mickey Stanley in the outfield. Got the ball. Yeah. Okay, it's the size of a pumpkin, and you have a wheelbarrow to catch it. So, good. But it makes us laugh, and it's fun. All right, the reason I'm trying to lighten the mood is because of what I'm about to talk about. Because this is called the sin of self, and I think you know where some of this is going to go. Do we have a sound for sin of self? What is that sound? What do we have?
I want to talk about me. Yeah. Me. I want to talk about me. Me.
That is right there the epitome of what I'm going to talk about. We can just close it up now. All right, everybody go home. I want to talk about me. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. We're going right to it because there's so much to cover. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. If you want to look in your Bible while I'm doing this, you can. I mean, it's not really like the church service, but you're welcome to. I can't even remember which version I'm using. It's either the NIV. It's probably the NIV. Odds are pretty good. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Scripture talks about pursuing self-interests in many different places. There is the rich young ruler who comes to mind who came to Jesus and thought to some degree that he was just doing everything right. But when it came down to it, Jesus gives that guy a list of commandments that he needs to follow. And if you'll notice in those commandments, the commandments Jesus lists are all commandments between people and other people. In other words, it's commandment 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 out of the 10 commandments. And the guy's like, I do that. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not stealing. I'm not committing murder. I'm not covetous. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm honoring my parents. I'm doing most of this stuff right. Then Jesus drops it right to him, right at the core, right at the heart. It doesn't apply to everybody the same way, but it certainly applied to this young man. He said, take everything that you have, sell it, give it to the poor, and follow me. And then the rich young man went away depressed, discouraged, because he loved his riches so much, because that's what was important to him. All right, here you go. Ready? Most of you who are listening, you're not that wealthy. It's okay. But you value something the same way. There might be something in your life that you hold value to that if the Lord said to you, give it away, get rid of it, you would walk away depressed. That only happens when the focus is on ourselves, when we're looking to our own interests only, when everything in our life revolves about how we see it. It is true that you live in your little bubble of a universe, but Scripture is clear and the teachings of Jesus are clear that we are supposed to expand our universe to include other universes. And by doing so, we then love our neighbor as we love ourselves by caring about what somebody else cares about. We become genuine Christians in behavior. It sounds so easy. I'm just going to care about what somebody cares about. Here's what we do when we go to work. We get into work and we share with one another and we have connections. And they're real connections, not invalid. But we don't often think, if I was that person, how much attention would I want to be how much attention would I want from this conversation? In other words, if you take yourself out of yourself and put yourself in their place, then how would that response be? Live your life as though you matter. In a sense, you do. But you're supposed to live it as though others matter too. And when it's just focused on your own interests, if you're just being about you, if the whole Christian life is about how your faith is, you're selfish. If every time you talk to a relative, you only talk about you and your life, and you don't talk to them about them and their lives, you're selfish. You're self-centered. You're geared only towards you. And that's a sin. We have relatives that we know, and I'm not going to get into any kind of get into the relative thing. But we have one relative, when they call, we just put the button on speaker and just let them finish because they're never going to ask any questions. They're just going to tell you everything about them. And then as soon as they're done and you say, well, wow, I'll be praying for you. Then they go, thanks. And then they just hang up. It's like, that is so selfish. I'm sorry, it is. It's not. I'm not going to make an excuse for that. In Philippians, it makes it pretty clear. We're not supposed to do stuff out of selfish ambition. We're supposed to think about others. You have your interests that are important. It's not that you have no interests, but you have to have enough openness to add interests in that other people hold. Otherwise, you're just selfish. See, there's two concepts. There's selfish and selfless. So because Jesus is our example and he in the Godhead was in eternity past, part of that Godhead, not in human form, how selfless was it for Jesus to take on human form? How selfless would it be for you to become an ant to help ants that are wounded? We'll magnify that about 50 million times. And that's what Jesus did. His example was his concern for him wasn't as important as his concern for us. And there it is. When our concerns for others are even on the same scale as our concerns for ourselves, we're doing great. If we can just bump it from on a 1 to 100, our concerns for ourselves are at like 90, whatever. Our concerns from others are typically somewhere around the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 level. If we can get the concerns for others up to the 30, 40, 50% level, we will be smoking as Christians. We would be fantastic. We just don't do that. Because it's all about us too often. And that's what the Lord wants to teach us. It's not, it shouldn't be all about us. If our example is Jesus Christ and he gave himself up for us, then that's the illustration. There you go. So as important as you are, and you are, you're important to God. Jesus Christ died for you. It's not that you don't have importance, but so is the believer next to you. They're important too. Their feelings are important too. Their trials are important too. Their difficulties are important too. Their elements are equally as important to God as yours are. If we treat one another that way, then we're getting out of the sin of self and we're walking more in the commandments of God. Let's follow Jesus' example. Let's just increase our interests in others and let's have it be genuine, nothing fake. And if you don't know how to do it, ask God to help you to do it. You think he's going to say no to that prayer request? I don't think so. I think that's one that he likes. I think you'll always get a yes on that. All right, we're going to take a short break and then come back because I want to talk to you about feeling the body. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, real estate, thinksam.com. Thanks.
When was the last time you made your spouse break out in a big smile?
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. It's Wednesday, May 24th.
When I sit down in the car and realize that my husband has filled up the gas tank and filled up the windshield wiper fluid, he lets me know that he loves me and is thinking about me enough to do that.
When your spouse does something small to please you, it really means a lot, doesn't it? We tend to go out of our way to please one another while we're dating, but all too often that passion to please one another fizzles once we're married. To please someone means to satisfy, gladden, or to delight them. When you pay attention to what pleases your mate, you validate his uniqueness as a person. Knowing his interests and acting to meet them lets him know that you really do care. Whether it's fixing the screen door, spicing up your love life, being on time, or carrying out a promise, your actions communicate You're number one in my life, and I want you to know it. One final thought. It's easy to get caught up with the demands of life and not take time to please your mate. Take a moment and consider, what could you do today that would cause your spouse to break into a big smile? I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All righty. This is one of those, you know, actually the overall message for this hour is called bodybuilding. You like that? Bodybuilding. Lift, I will lift a weight. It has to do with building up the body, obviously. And so the very first segment we talked about was sin of self. When you are the center, first of all, you should never be the center of the universe. Okay? I'm just saying straight out. It should always be that God is the center of the universe. We talked about this earlier this week, that compared to your love for Jesus, not just your mom, not just your dad, not just your brother, not just your sister, not just your wife, not just your children, but you, and it mentions you twice. Twice. Yeah. You got to hate everybody in comparison to your love with God. That is what the Lord demands. He is a jealous God, number one. Number two, once you've got that priority straight, you don't then just to go, okay, well, I've got God number one, but man, I'm number two in everything. It's like, that is not the goal there. I understand that is what a lot of us do, but I think that might not be the way to go. So I'll pull that back and say, let's not do that. And then I want to talk about this next part, and this is a big challenge here, because the first one was sin of self. Now this is called feel the body. Feel the body. You got a sound? No sound. So we're going to do feel the body. We didn't do feelings? Feelings. Okay. Are you getting one? Okay. We're going. We have to go. We can't wait. You go? Are we waiting?
Feelings.
Thank you.
Nothing more than feelings.
Okay, that's enough. Was that the Barbra Streisand one?
No, you know, we always say that, but hers are, I don't think it's feelings.
Oh, what is it?
It's memories.
Oh, memories? Oh, I thought hers were, I am a person who does not understand God, the Bible, or anything that's spiritually true. That wasn't her song? I thought
that wasn't
was
a hit. That was her song, but it wasn't a big hit.
Yeah. Well, it was for her. Big hit coming later. Anyhow, let's talk about feel the body. This comes out of Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. I know there's a lot of people going, wait, you can't say stuff like this. See, that's just got my name on there. That's why I get to do that. Here you go. Remember I just said that love can't be fake? We were just talking about that. It's like, you know, it's got to be real and so on and so forth. Here's what it says in Romans 12, 9. Love must be sincere. It's not that the Lord doesn't know when you're faking it, right? He knows. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Wait, that's just what we were talking about. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor up serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Here is taking what the Lord said to that next level, which, of course, it should be taken to that next level. And here's what it is. We are supposed to not just focus on ourselves, but focus on others. We understand that there are two great commands, and we're going to cover that in the next segment. But look at the depth that God requires you and I to go to in loving one another. Okay, I want you to see the depth. Because one of the things that happens is we can be very robotic in our Christian love. I will love you because I am commanded to love you. So I love you. You are my brother, my sister. You are my computer. It's like, it's phony. It's not real. So what Paul says in Romans chapter 12 when he's talking about the body, in verse 15 is really all of it. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. In other words, we have to feel with those who are feeling it, whether it's good or bad. Oh, see, this is where feel the body becomes real. When somebody in the body has the body of Christ, your particular fellowship, the body at large, a smaller subset, maybe your Bible study, when somebody in your spiritual realm is rejoicing, your love should be so genuine that you actually rejoice for them. You don't get jealous because it's not you. You don't go, I can't wait till it's my turn. You are actually happy for their blessing. I mean it. I can only use my children as the finest example. When my children do well, I am blessed. Maybe a little bit too selfish in the sense that they're an extension of me. But when my brother does well, I am blessed. And that might be a better example because he came on this show 4 years ago. He got lost on his way here. He's, you know, I'm not saying that he's kind of dopey, even though my brother's kind of dopey. But then he gets here. He's late. He's supposed to be here at 3 o'clock. He doesn't get here till 3:30. He sits down at this very table, and we talk about ministry and about music. And then I ask him, why aren't you doing ministry anymore in music? And he's like stunned. He doesn't even, I've never asked him that, I guess, before. And, you know, because he was the person that led me to the Lord. He was the person that was involved in music ministry before I was involved in teaching ministry. So from that point to this point, he's cut another album. He's got a recording studio that he's almost completed. And he's gone on tour with the prison ministries, with the Chuck Colson prison ministries. He's had a song featured for Teen Challenge. It's a song that he wrote that's a national, I mean, it's national in the sense that it's played every day all over the country. And his entire life has been tossed upside down because he was challenged in ministry. And I will say that I am blessed that my brother is blessed. You don't think that's a blessing to me? Are you kidding? I want people to discover how great his music is. I actually think it's fantastic music. We play it on this show every single day. And he gets requests. He travels to Colorado and New Mexico and travels to all these different places. He even came to California. And he's kind of gearing up to do a lot of stuff. I am blessed for him. That's my brother. I hope he becomes a multi-billionaire. I won't have to work so hard. No, that's selfish. The point is, I hope he does really well. I should feel for him. But Scripture tells us that's how we should be with one another. And he is my brother. He's my spiritual brother, and he's my natural brother. I need to have that love for my spiritual brother. That's where I fail. Now, I think it's easy to rejoice with somebody who rejoices. I think it's a little harder to have a genuine, you know, mourning or depression or weeping for somebody who weeps. Because if you're not in a bad mood, you don't want to go into a bad mood. Yet, if your brother or sister is mourning, our commitment and connection should be so close. Our feeling the body should be so close that we, too, take that on with them. You think, well, that doesn't seem very positive. I don't think it is very positive. I think it's very Jesus. And that's the difference. I think Jesus wants us to engage with one another at such a level that when one brother or sister rejoices, we all rejoice. And when one brother or sister mourns, we all mourn. And we bear that with one another, and we connect to one another that way. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love one for another. And part of that love is bearing with one another, is feeling with one another, is laughing with one another, is crying with one another. And when you genuinely do that outside of your own little universe, it's a testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how God set it up. And that's why we're supposed to feel the body. It's not just a matter of self, self, self. It's selflessness, not selfishness. And we need to feel that. You need to feel that with one another by faith. Jesus put the priority of relationships very clear. He said, if you do my will, you are my brothers, you are my sisters, you are my mother. He made that clear. Maybe we should take him seriously since he said it. I don't know, call me crazy, but it's in the book 4 or 5 times, just in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, let alone the rest of the passages. We should be feeling with one another, for one another, towards one another. That is what the Lord wants. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back and deal with the big one, the one for all. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Every time the David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The novelist F. Scott Fitzgerald once said that the true sign of first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposite ideas without losing the ability to function. Philosophers call such a position antinomy, two true ideas that appear to be contradictory. For example, the Bible says that God's predestination and man's free choice are equally true, yet those two truths seem contradictory. That's because our ways are not God's ways, as the prophet Isaiah wrote. What may seem contradictory to our mind is not contradictory to God's. We need to rest in the fact that God is God and we are not. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover who God is on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
One of Christianity's leading thinkers says millennials have abandoned the church and Christian sexual ethics. This is truth itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Apologist Ravi Zacharias recently sat down with the Christian Post to discuss millennials and the church. Among his observations, gleaned after answering hundreds of questions posed to him by college students across the country, Zacharias believes millennials have abandoned the church and Christian sexual ethics in order to find answers and fulfillment. Zacharias said the topic of sexuality comes up in practically every speech or talk, regardless of how unrelated the topic of the speech may be. He believes millennials have replaced real spirituality with sexual expression as a means to find fulfillment, adding, "And what they have done is burned themselves out before they even hit their mid-20s, and they've come away empty-handed as well." Zacharias offered that only by touching the soul will one be fulfilled. He said the challenge to Christians is to communicate the beauty of sexuality and the fact that God's law surrounding it are actually liberating and not repressive. Zacharias' travels have taught him that millennials have come to the conclusion that there are no answers anywhere, and that includes those who have left the church and sought out other worldviews, which leads him to encourage Christians everywhere to approach their unbelieving neighbors with compassion and not to see them as opposition. How would you describe your health care? The word affordable probably is not the first word that comes to mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com is a great way to do it. I should tell people that because of our sales manager, Brian, we are working something out because I guess Salem has been working with Saddleback Church for a while, so it looks like we are very shortly going to have Rick Warren on the show, which would be fun. Unfortunately, when we were going to have him on the last time, it was just before the family tragedy kind of took place, so it was real tough. And then it just kind of, you know, we just kind of put a stop on it, didn't try and make too much pursuit there. So I guess he's going to be joining us rather soon. Rick Warren will be on the show, so that's kind of cool. We're excited about that. We have some other guests that are all coming on as well. And it might even be fun to have my brother back on just to have him give a recap. I think I'm going to wait until he finishes his studio, and then he can kind of give try and give a recap of the last 3.5-4 years. Good luck with that. Anyway, let's see how that goes. All right, so we've been talking about bodybuilding, not the Arnold way. We've been talking about bodybuilding as in building up the body. The first and foremost thing that people need to understand in building up the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have been commanded to, is the sin of self. That's a really important part, because if you don't escape the sin of self, you'll never, ever love somebody else the way you're supposed to. If you're always the center of attention of your universe, you're in trouble. I can't say, it's not that you don't care for the things in your life. Nobody's saying that. But every thought and every action, every word, everything that you do gearing around just you is selfish, selfish, selfish. In fact, if that's you, you shouldn't have kids. And if that is you and you don't have kids, don't have kids. In the sense that you need to be able to pour yourself out of you and into your kids. The reason that we have some of the difficulty that we have today is because parenting has not been determined to be as important as taking your kids to school and picking them up on time. Parenting is more important at every level. So sin of self is a big deal. And then we talked about that next segment, which has to do with feeling the body. In Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And there's people that are afraid in Christianity of having some kind of expressed emotions that they think, well, you can't have this all be about feelings. And it's like they go so far as that they can't even recognize the joy of the Lord as their strength. That's too far, man. You don't live by your feelings, but you can't live without them either. So, I mean, it's the thing you got to remember about your feelings is it's part of the train of your life. It's just not the first train. Okay? And you're thinking, oh, love is. No, actually, truth is, because you would never know what the real definition of love is if you don't have truth. But that's an argument for another time. The point is that you have to have a feeling towards one another and a connection towards one another, because that's commanded. Now, let's look at it from as much maturity, maybe as much maturity as I can pull out of this. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So we understand in summation that in Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus was asked what are the greatest commandments, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And then Luke says, all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. These are the two great commandments. And on everything, the law and the prophets hang on these. So the law of Christ in summation is that you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of Christ. He took the Old Testament, everything from Genesis, and he took the prophet part of the Old Testament, which has to do with 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles and the Psalms and the Proverbs and every other part. And he took all of that from Genesis to Malachi, and he summed that up in those two commands to love God and to love your neighbor. So when Galatians 6:2 says, this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, this is the second part of that summation, the loving one another as you love yourself. How do you do that? Galatians 6:2 gives it to you in four words. Four. Carry each other's burdens. Boom. That's what it tells you to do. The problem that we have is in our society, because we have an absolutely warped entertainment society, now I can safely say it's no longer warped just in Hollywood and movies. Now it's warped in sports entertainment. It's warped at every level in music. It's what, now there's great stuff in all of these industries. PureFlix is great. You know, great Christian music. There's solid Christian TV. That exists. But by and large, the majority of all entertainment is godless and takes true words and ruins their definitions. So now in society, love means no matter what somebody does, you slap them on the back and you go, that a boy. And that's got nothing to do with love in any capacity that Scripture teaches. It's a false teaching on love. When it talks about carrying each other's burdens and loving your neighbor, it's not saying approve of everybody's sin and give them a flower if they do something defiant to God. It's not what it says, not what it means. It's so dumb that it goes beyond dumb. And you get these colleges and that are teaching just absolutely ridiculous things. I'm in the middle of one. I'm telling you, I'm the right-wing voice, no matter what. And it's like, look, these things are – we can't change it. Let's understand a few things about biblical love. It's called agape love. What's the deal about agape? Agape is a love of choice. It's not a love of feeling. When you love your wife, you will – phileo, have the feelings towards her, and you will also agape her. You will sacrifice and give. How do we know what love is? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's how you know what love is. God gives you that definition by telling you what he did that was an act of love. Sacrificial giving, a decision to do so. Again, it's not that the feelings are wrong. It's just that feelings can't be that first train on your first cart on that train of life. In biblical agape, it doesn't deny the existence of bad. It doesn't deny the existence of evil or wrongdoing. It doesn't deny any of those things, but it's not about touchy feelings. It's about making a decision. If you don't tell your neighbor that their actions will separate them from God for all eternity, you're not doing a very good job loving. Period. And in Christian realms, now we're talking believer to believer, Scripture makes it clear how to demonstrate that love. Carry each other's burdens. Here's how you got to do that. You got to know what the person's burdened with. In order to know what the person's burdened with, get this, you got to ask. And then you can't give that fake Christian response, I'll pray for you, and then never pray for them. You actually need to pray for them. And then when they weep because it doesn't turn a certain way, you weep. Or when they rejoice, you rejoice. You see how all this works together? It's all like this big thing. And so if you're involved in carrying the burdens, then you're sharing it. If your brother or sister or child or mother or father, God forbid, had leukemia or cancer, you would carry that. Yep, there you go. That's what you got to take into the spiritual relationships. Don't tell me, well, I can't do that because I can only reserve that for family. Lies is what Satan has fed you. Jesus, through whom you can do all things, makes it clear that we need to express that to one another as brothers and sisters. The only reason you can't do it is because you're selfish. It doesn't matter if you like that or not. It's irrelevant. What's relevant is that you have to make a decision to carry one another's burdens. You have to know what those burdens are to carry them, and you have to really carry it because God knows if you're faking it. And that is how we get into bodybuilding. You know how we get into that? I'm going to close it down with a very short encouragement admonition in this next segment, but it will show you exactly how far we need to go in trusting one another, and it might blow your mind. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere. Hey!
stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about how to defend the faith without being divisive.
Look at the early church, the disciples, you know, of the 11 remaining after Judas was exposed. All but one died as martyrs. They gave their life for something they believed so deeply in. And as a result, people were moved by the fact that they were so devoted to this. And Paul, who defended the faith and promoted the gospel and all the things that he went through, the stonings, the beatings, the riots. I mean, this guy, man, shipwrecked. I wouldn't travel with this guy. He had all kinds of issues. But look at his testimony, because he was willing to take on the critics and the opponents, and he won many of them over.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
The novelist F. Scott Fitzgerald once said that the true sign of first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposite ideas without losing the ability to function. Philosophers call such a position antinomy, two true ideas that appear to be contradictory. For example, the Bible says that God's predestination and man's free choice are equally true. Yet those two truths seem contradictory. That's because our ways are not God's ways, as the prophet Isaiah wrote. What may seem contradictory to our mind is not contradictory to God's. We need to rest in the fact that God is God and we are not. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover who God is on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Since I turned my heart to you,
welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you want to, you can send an email, davidspoon at kprz.com. You can go to our Facebook page. I don't know what you're going to do there. You can do something, though, I'm sure. I need to do something.
Click
more
something.
With it. I need to find somebody who knows how to do, like, social pages stuff. You know, that would be fun. But you know what? I got no time. I don't have any time. What do you want from me? I still got to write a paper tonight. Anyway, what we've been talking about, which is an important element of our walk, is bodybuilding. And that's building up the body of Christ. The first thing we talked about, making it plain and simple, is we have to identify that the sin of self is a biggie. You know those books, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. They should all say, I'm nuts, you're nuts, we need Jesus. Because we are so self-centered, so selfish, that oftentimes we don't reflect Jesus Christ, who demonstrates what selflessness is by the way he came and sacrificed his life for us. Then we talked about that level of commitment to one another, that spiritual level of commitment, needs to be more than just this robotic, I love you because you are my brother or sister in Christ. You have to feel the rejoicing with one another and the mourning with one another, the sadness with one another. If you got a brother or sister who's really struggling, we need to bear with them and connect with them. And that's what we said in the last segment. It's one for all and all for one. And you carry each other's burdens. And by carrying each other's burdens, we actually demonstrate what Jesus asked us to demonstrate. And by the way, you can't carry somebody's burdens if you don't ask them and find out how they are, which is why a lot of people don't do that. I don't want to know, because then I'll be responsible. That also, by the way, is selfishness, just to let you know. So sin of self, feel in the body, one for all, and now we drop it down to that one place where you can't get away. Even I want to get away from this. I don't even want to tell you what I'm about to tell you. I got to tell you. And I got to tell me while I'm telling you. And that is, there's a call to action. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. It's like, wait. Well, I know, but I got to do it? I got to do what it says? Yes. Because if you listen to all this, it sounds very spiritual, very great. If you don't use it, guess what? You're still responsible before God for it. You don't get to escape. Well, I didn't really know. You can just see the Lord going, really? Well, at this time, at this moment, you heard this and did nothing. Like, yeah, you got a responsibility. You got to take that on. So there's a call to action for us to do the stuff. It's an old saying in the charismatic Pentecostal circles, let's do the stuff. And that was by, you know, do the kingdom stuff. I want to show you how deep it goes. I'm not expecting you to run into this. I just want to show you how deep it can go or should go in regards to our connection to one another and our commitment to one another. Because all we're talking about is loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any among you sick? Let them call from the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up, and if they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, unfortunately, there are religious groups that have taken James chapter 5, verse 16, and they've put it into a box with an individual, but it doesn't say that. So I just want to read what it says, because it's just like see Dick run, or run Jane run, you know, or look at Spot. Here's what it says. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. That's what it says. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Now, it doesn't seem to me, as the scripture makes it plain, I don't think this is talking about a corporate setting of 5,000 people per se, but I do think it has to do with the house churches that were in the New Testament. Makes sense to me. You could disagree, that's fine. But you're in a group and you share some of your struggles and you confess some of your struggles and you pray for one another for deliverance and for healing and for forgiveness and for grace and for mercy. I mean, that just makes common sense. But what I want you to catch out of that, whether you're going to argue with me ecclesiology or not, is that we should be so connected to one another that we can confess to one another what we're struggling with. Oh, I'm trying to see how many people are running out the back door after I just said that. Ah, that's it. Turning Dave off. Quick. I get it. But verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. It's like, I have to have so much confidence in my brother or sister in the Lord that I can share that which I struggle with. Now, I don't expect people to come out and share their most intimate struggles, but it does require us to start that process. Maybe you just say I'm struggling because I don't have, you know, a good grasp on my faith. Or I don't understand how I'm supposed to treat this person when they're mean to me. Or I don't understand how it is. But all that's valid. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But you have to have such confidence and such connection that you can share at great, deep levels. That's what the love of God commands us to do for one another. Not only do you got to share, but you got to hear and hold it in confidence. All right, going to be done right there. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.